live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
No disrespect to this song and the way you all get down when Nice Guy Steve's in here. I think we need to bring Bruno in to get the energy to a sufficient level. Maestro, will you please?
Now look at you walking in here all pretty and angry and mean.
Anna, has it grown on you yet?
Love this song.
Did you know this before?
Of course.
Yeah,
great song.
I'm kind of late to the Bruno party.
Never too late.
Go ahead and dance in your car, kids. Everyone. Whoa! All right. Now time to cool down, settle back into your chair. You've got your energy levels up. Your biorhythms are cranking. Endorphins have been released. And you've got me, Michael Urban, and Anna Kakarakis. I got it better today?
Kakarakis, good job.
All right, close enough.
Now, yeah, you did a good job.
Close enough sounds so dismissive. That's not
no,
good at all.
No, not at all. You're good, you're good. Don't worry, it's not like it's the easiest name. I remember when I was in elementary school, whenever the teacher would pause right before my name, it's like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you would be surprised at how many different ways Urban can get mispronounced.
Really?
Yeah.
Urban?
Urban, Urbane. Some of them, like when... I still get people on the Chilton Auto Body text line, which is 95795, addressing me as big IRV, ERV, HERB, HERV. I mean,
you got all kinds of variations there.
Difficult, but whatever. I'm all right with it. We got a, hey, there's a lot of Warrior stuff going on. Look, well, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, you're not going to get a lot of Warriors here over the next hour. And then I have you until 6 o'clock, at which point we will hand it off to Joe Lowe and Dibs. Or is Coe's in today?
We Coe's again today.
Coe's
we got Coe's.
In. All right.
Joe Coe's and Dibs today.
So that will be great stuff. The A's. Trevino did not blow a save yesterday because he didn't pitch. And so the A's won. And there is good news in the hockey world. Carlson got an 8-year extension. I don't know why that really grabbed me. 8 years.
It's a long time.
He's going to be 37 at the end of the deal.
I mean, when you think about it, though, when he's 37, you think about how long some of these athletes play.
Yeah, right.
And 37, it's older, obviously, for sports. But when you think at the end of 8 years, I'll take it.
Yeah. When you being comfortable at 37 is not unusual anymore. Being productive at 37 is not unusual anymore. It used to be like when we were kids. When I was a kid, sorry, I'm not putting you in my demographic, but I don't. That was back when running backs really were gone by the age of. 34, 33.
Right.
Basketball players, you hardly ever saw them in their late 30s. Maybe it was because they were chain smoking in the tunnel in between quarters. That stuff actually happens. Crazy. Some of my friends that covered the NBA way back when, I mean, guys would be smoking on the bench.
I mean, yeah, you see the training and everything that they do to keep their minds, their bodies right and everything. And, you know, what's the one, the hyperbaric chambers?
That was hot for a while, yeah.
It's still hot for a while. It's still a huge thing a lot of these players do right now. So there's so much care for their bodies.
Right.
I mean, they treat their bodies like they're machines. And they put the right foods in there. I think it's Andre Iguodala, I believe, last year when they had won, said right after they had won the championship, he's like, I'm going to go eat some ribs. Because he had not
really
eaten, because he's very, very strict with his diet.
And what's crazy is that you can have the most restricted diet ever, and the team's chef, whoever they've hired, they'll be able to work with your diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the greatest chef preparing you the healthiest meals possible. You've got phenomenal team doctors.
Yep.
And then if you want a second opinion, you can take your own money and go get what? Probably another set of phenomenal doctors.
Exactly.
There's really no reason for these guys. Ray Fosse used to tell me about showing up to camp. I mean, different sport, but that's when you tried to get in shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you needed 6 weeks. Now, 6 weeks, every player says, oh, my God, it's so long. Well, it's because they come in tip-top shape and ready to rock.
Yeah, you have so many guys playing, like going to play winter ball.
Right.
They're continuing throughout the season or throughout the offseason as well, continuing their workouts and everything. You don't really have that time off. And I also wonder, you think about how it's changed also for kids and how a lot of kids now are doing the sport year round, which I don't, I'm not a huge fan of.
I'm not either.
I have two boys, and that's one of the things that I'm really hoping that my husband and I had talked about. Is really trying to get our kids to play different sports throughout the years because I think they need to work different sets of muscles throughout the year.
Sure.
Because I think that, I don't know, this is just theories based on things that I've read and kind of thought basically over the time is that I think a lot of reasons why you're seeing so much Tommy John and things like that is because...
Repetitive use injuries.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you're not letting them use different parts of their bodies and everything, and you're only focusing on one point throughout the years. And it's just, I think it just becomes too much work on these kids and over time, it's just going to come back and bite them.
They will either physically break down or they'll get burnt out mentally.
Yep. I mean,
my youngest daughter, as you know, is a swimmer, a really right. competitive swimmer. But she did other sports until she was what we felt was old enough to make the call on her own. And
right.
she's you know, her sister played all the sports and still does. But Natalie just wanted to swim. I mean, at 10 years old, a 10-year-old girl decided no more white sugar in my diet.
Wow.
No more sugar, no more bread. She wanted to change her body type, and she did. And she's been, I mean, an animal ever since, with the exception, and I was so proud of her for this, she had been swimming hard for about a year and a half, like nonstop, year-round. And she said, Dad, I don't want to swim for a few months. I want to play basketball. And I'm like, yes.
That's good. Pretty, something else.
Yeah. And it was just to be with her friends and have something different. And she ended up, you know, playing well and then won a championship. So I thought, oh, now is she going to go back to basketball? No, just wanted a break from the pool.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's hard, too, because when you're so focused, especially at a young age,
yeah.
and now you see that, you know, you have kids that excel in a certain sport and that's what they want to focus on.
Sure. They're having the most fun because they're getting the most positive attention there.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's okay trying to find that balance of trying to do something else and trying to not overwork them so that by the time that they're, you know, teenagers – that they just hate the sport.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to find that balance.
Anna, we could do 5 hours on the way youth sports has changed and been industrialized and monetized.
Yep.
It's like, I mean, you've got guys who hit 220 in their one season of junior college baseball, charging families $100 an hour to work with, you know, little Timmy or Tammy in the batter's box. It's
yeah.
just, it's crazy. You got to have money to play. Speaking of big money, there are plenty of guys on the Giants that are making pretty darn good money, and the Giants would like to offload that. Madison Bumgarner, of course, he's not breaking the bank right now, but he's heading there. He deserves it at some point, and so that has kind of been the story. Definitely not to the extent of KD's, you know, future kind of hovering over the Warriors all
right.
season long, but there is a parallel there, right? The Giants have. The difference is the Warriors knew that they were going to be good and they're probably going to be good still. The Giants are terrible and they're going to be shopping their best pitcher. I don't think Posey goes anywhere. But, I mean, isn't that the Giants story you've heard most about all year is Bumgarner?
Yeah, what's going to happen with him? And it's almost, you know, that's that whole parallel of when is it going to be that should the Warrior fans be worried that if this team is getting old, are they turning into the Giants?
Right.
Is that
mm-hmm.
the same thing? Do you need to
totally.
Trade guys away? And it's hard because you have so many likable guys and so many guys who have meant so much to
right.
the fans, to the team, and some of the best memories. And it's like it's hard to let them go.
And you know, if the Warriors were operating the way the Giants did when they were winning titles,
mm-hmm.
like every one of these guys would be locked into a massive contract for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Because
the Giants went through a stretch where it seemed like they were rewarding guys who won titles, like not necessarily paying them for what they think they're going to do, but like Marco Scudero is a good example.
Right.
Like, thank you, Marco. We'll
Mr.
give
Clutch.
Him an extension. Yeah,
yep.
exactly. So that's kind of crazy. We'll touch a little bit on Mad Bum, the latest rumors. The A's are playing good baseball, again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, they had some bullpen problems, and they didn't yesterday. You get the ball to Blake Treinen, he's probably going to get you the save. He did that, but...
16th save of the year.
16th?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a stud. He's just... I don't know how anybody hits him. I mean, he can't throw a ball straight. I've been behind and just to the left at spring training watching him throw a bullpen, and... You can hear them communicating, you know, two-seam, four-seam. He was throwing nothing but fastballs, and every ball moved like a foot and a half. It was incredible. I mean, just natural movement. And then I was talking to him afterwards, and he confirmed something I've heard a lot of pitchers say. I'm like, so when you struggle, I asked him, when you struggle, what do you need to do? And he said, try less. I'm like, what does that mean? He says, well, the tendency when you're struggling is to throw harder. And he says, but with me, if I throw too hard, I eliminate the sink and the movement in my pitches. It just goes straight. So I'm worse off. He said, but it's so counterintuitive to what professionals are thinking they're supposed to do. I mean, try less, throw softer. That just doesn't, you know, equate.
Yeah, it almost seems like kind of a almost getting out of his own head type of thing.
That's what it is.
You know, just kind of overthinking, because that's probably one of the issues. And especially with baseball, because baseball is one of those sports that it really is a game of inches, that just a little bit can make a huge difference. You know, obviously it's between an inch is a strikeout versus a home run. I mean, that's what it can come down to. So when you, I think when you have a sport, you have so much, you know, it's such a long sport that there are so many different things that can equate to whether or not how one guy will perform and whether or not that's going to be kind of like the major moment if he's going, how am I trying to say this here? He's, you know, it really just makes a difference what each moment, each pitch is so important to these guys that they really can get into their own heads.
Well, they have so, I mean, you hear it all the time. Baseball's a game of failure.
Yeah.
Because if you're successful 3 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer. And no matter what, whether you're playing well or not playing well, as you kind of alluded to there, you've got a lot of time to sit and think about that last at bat you had or that last pitch that you threw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start, you know, idle mind is a devil workshop. And cliches exist because they're rooted in truth. I've talked to a ton of ball players who say, you know, the difference, everybody is great in the big leagues. The difference between who is great in the big leagues versus just great getting to the big leagues, he says, it's all in these 6 inches. We're all super talented. It's just what guys are mentally tougher.
It's crazy.
I think Blake Trident's probably on that mentally tough list.
Yeah, Mike Fiers, too. Shout out to him retiring 17 straight Orioles last night. He's been phenomenal in the last few games. I was just reading this here because last night he had 4 strikeouts over 6 2/3 innings, 2 runs, none of them earned, and then 10 consecutive starts in which he's allowed 3 earned runs or less. Since April 26th, he has a 2.71 ERA that ranks 6th among American League starters.
So the A's are finally getting back to what we suspected they would be at the start of the season. And typically they're a second-half team anyway, but you look at their roster, you look at the guys that are rehabbing, they really should be a second-half team this year because they've got a good bullpen. They've had some struggles in the pen, but when everybody's kind of put in their slot that they're used to, they're fine. I don't really worry about Trevino getting it back as long as you got Trinan at the back end. But the one thing that they haven't, we know they're going to hit. We know they're going to hit homers. They're going to get on base. But the starting pitching has been hit and miss. And, you know, even Fiers, he'll have a great start and then go out and struggle a little bit. They've got, what, 3 or 4 decent, you know, guys that would have at least been competing for a rotation spot at spring training. I'm talking about A.J. Puck. He just got back on the mound. He struck out 9 4 innings in his last outing.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean,
when's he expected back? Do we know yet? I was actually having to
check
that.
No, but if he's throwing, you know, at that level, if he's competing, it can't be too far away.
That's great.
Yeah, and I don't know what Jarrell Cotton's status is exactly, but, you know, you hear it sometimes around the trade deadline when a team has an injured player coming back saying, we don't even have to give up anything, and we're acquiring, you know, a new stud that they're familiar with and knows their system. And if the A's can get a couple of young starters fresh in the second half and take whoever gets bumped from that into the bullpen, it could be really dangerous. I think they're going to be a team to watch, I think.
Well, that's one of the things that's been an issue the first half of the season is their rotation. And that's been, you know, kind of the question mark around them. So to get, you know, to solidify their rotation with some really good studs, some great, you know, some great pitchers, that's only going to help them as a team and just be deeper.
Yeah. And they're a fun team to watch. Anytime I'm flicking through the channels, if the A's are on, I'll stop and watch a little bit because, you know, we were talking about celebrating yesterday, and the A's aren't an over the top celebrating team, but they do have their little things and you can just tell they have a blast, you know, and I mean, I don't know if this is that job for you. I enjoy everybody that I work with. I look forward to coming in, but that's not the reality for a lot of workers, period, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some people, you go in virtually any work environment, if you got 25 guys, let's say, like a big league roster has, not everyone's going to dig each other, right? You're going to have a couple little, you know, here's 7 guys who hang out here and this and that and that. The A's don't do that. And this is going all the way back to when I started covering them in 2001. It's just, and Billy insists that he doesn't try to do that. Come on, dude. You've been doing it for 20 years. You got great clubhouse guys every single year.
By the way, go ahead.
No, no, go.
By the way, something I'm really upset about when it comes to the A's, have you seen the All-Star ballot at all? This just popped up yesterday. Matt Chapman, do you know where he is ranking right now with the ballot voting?
So we're talking about Matt Chapman, who won the Platinum Glove as the best defender, regardless of position. And he also hits bombs and drives in runs, and he's still learning. I would say he's in... Well, he should be in first, but I'm going to say as up in arms as you look, fifth?
Seventh.
Matt Chapman is seventh among American League. Oh, wow.
He has two. This as of last night, probably about late evening last night, 267,000 votes, just over that. Alex Bregman in first with over a million, 1.3 million.
Woo! Alex Bregman. Can't keep that guy out of there.
No, but come on.
Who's second and third?
Tell me if I'm saying his name right. Gio Urshela with the Yankees.
Sure.
Hunter Dozier with Kansas City. Rafael Devers.
It's Urshela, I'm told.
Urshela, thank you. And then Marwin Gonzalez, Vladimir
Guerrero
Jr.
Who are these
and
guys?
Then Matt Chapman.
I get Vlad Jr., even though he doesn't deserve it to be over him, but there's a lot of hype. Wow, Matt Chapman. He'll be on the team. They'll figure out a way to get him on the team, right? I mean, that's why. Look, how do you feel about fans having a vote with the All-Stars? Because I like it.
I do, too.
Because it's the only time during the sports calendar that the fans actually have a voice and can actually impact something, right? I mean, it's the only time. So remember when Cal Ripken was given kind of an honorary spot, similar to what the NBA did with Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki? They did that with him in his final All-Star game. And he hit a home run in his first at-bat. So it's like he's hitting .220 going into the game. Big deal. Give him a spot. He's an all-time legend. If people want to watch Cal, let him watch Cal. And then he hits a home run to make it all justified. But I'm fine with that type of thing.
I think it should be half and half. I think there should be also maybe a manager vote or player vote somehow incorporated into it.
It's definitely split up a little bit.
Yeah, so a little more split that way. And then so that way you have more, you get more of the respect kind of that from, for these athletes who work so hard at what they do. I mean, for goodness sakes, he did get a platinum glove last year.
Right. But, I mean, you would hope that the players would be objective, but they're not. When I was doing the A's, I was also – MLB.com had a deal with the Sporting News. And, you know, that's a big national publication, but they didn't have the money to have beat writers for each team. So we basically provided them with a blurb every week. But then they would give us end-of-the-year assignments where we had most valuable player, Cy Young, ballots to go give the players. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, Anna, some of them said, sit down, Herb, do this with me. I don't know what the hell these guys are doing. And I'm going down, and he goes – who should I pick? And I tell him who to pick, and he goes, yeah, put that. And then it comes to A-Rod, who is having a monster year, like an MVP year, and I go, so A-Rod here, right? No. So, really? I mean, that's going on, right? So you would like to think that they respect each other, and they certainly know who the best players are, but just like with the Hall of Fame voters, the writers, they have grudges, they have agendas.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to eliminate that. That's why you're never going to have perfect voting.
You're never going to see that. And that's why we saw like one of the big issues, obviously, with the NBA this year and Klay Thompson before not getting the All-NBA team.
Right.
And everybody's complaining, oh, should it be a media voted thing or should it be the players who vote? Because, you know, obviously that comes down to money in the end for these
guys. Imagine that clause in the contract?
Oh. Goodness. I mean, just think about it, like, you know, just getting that additional title also, like for a baseball player, an all-star. You become an all-star. That's a big difference when it comes down to your legacy.
And going back to the all-NBA stuff, I mean, that can impact there could be escalators in your contract, you know, kickers, but there's also through the salary structure that's been collectively bargained, if you get all pro or all NBA first or second or third team, you're eligible for a bigger contract than if you didn't do it. That's terrible.
Yep.
I mean, suppose you're a guy that is a great player, but you're kind of a jackass and nobody likes you. Like, I mean, maybe that hurts Draymond in voting, things like this. But it's just, like I said, I don't think you're ever going to be able to find a perfect solution.
No, there'll never be a perfect solution. It'll all be, you know, at the end of the day, there's always going to be something wrong. But, you know, you're somebody who's covered, you know, media and everything, and you're around the sports. Is it a lot of responsibility to have that type of power, basically?
I don't know about responsibility and power. It depends on the individual. Like, if you don't take that real serious, like if you're voting for the Hall of Fame, this is And this is what some of these guys live for, right? You're sad as it might sound to us, you're validating this guy's life if he's in the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all he has. That's all he did. And for a personal grudge to keep him out, it's just tough.
Yeah.
I like the way the leagues have tried to, like you said, you know, make it even where you have the players, you have the media, all that. But again, every single one of those groups of people is a group of people who might have grudges. I think that the least, even though they're homers on the air, this might surprise you, but I think the team's radio and TV broadcasters should have a huge vote because they are at virtually every single game. And I think they're more objective when they look at an opposing team. They have to study opposing teams more than like me going in as a beat writer. I'll know a little bit about that team, and if I need to look it up, I can. These broadcasters, they've got it seared in their brains since spring training, so I think they might be the most qualified to do an objective thing for it.
Yeah, no, I completely get you on that. I completely agree with you on that.
All right, let's bounce back to the Warriors not real quick. The story keeps getting legs, and it's amazing how the Lakers and the Warriors are lumped into each. They're going to be talked about as one unit for like the next 2 or 3 years because LeBron finally appears to have the upper hand on the Warriors while these two guys are hurt. And ESPN has obviously already hitched their wagon to the Lakers. It's going to be Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. And they are going to take – Lakers are going to get covered the way the Warriors have been covered for the past couple of years. I mean, how is that going to affect the Warriors? It seems like now that the reality is setting in based on everything I listened to and I read yesterday, Anna, is that Warriors fans are starting to get more nervous about it. Like when the Lakers trade first went down, they're like, yeah, of course it's interesting. It's LeBron. It's the Lakers. But for me, I looked at it as how does this affect the Lakers? I didn't quite look at it. How does it affect the Warriors? And now I am because you got to start thinking about something else, you know, mm-hmm. move the story forward. And that's the talk that I've been hearing is that some Warriors fans are starting to be, oh, crap, we're going to be without Klay and KD, whether they sign with us or not. We're not going to have them. And that piggybacks into just, and again, this is based on what I'm hearing and reading. There's people actually doubting big time, not only if they are a playoff team next year, but whether they should want to be a playoff team next year.
Well, I think they'll probably want to be a playoff team, especially with the first year at Chase Arena next year.
Totally.
So that's going to be the only thing. The only thing is if Steph Curry plays most of the time, I think they will make it. They won't be up. I don't think they'll have a high seed.
6, 7, 8 is what I'm thinking.
I mean, you still got Draymond and you still got Steph. Now, they're going to have to obviously fill in a lot of roster spots there. You're going to fill a lot of holes with Klay and KD out.
And if you can get Boogie back, and I hear those chances are increasing, I think you change the style of basketball just a little bit to take advantage of what Marcus does best. But, yeah, where are they going to get all the offense from?
That's the only thing. So if they don't make it, I think it's because Steph somehow gets hurt, quote unquote, or just it takes a lot of load management next year. There could be that too. But I think in a way, the good thing is it's going to take a lot of pressure off the Warriors next
year. Yeah.
And for me, I cannot wait to figure out July, to figure out free agency. And once all that goes down and figure out how this all shakes up for the Warriors, whether or not, you know, hopefully it sounds like Klay's going to sign.
Mm-hmm.
What KD's decision is going to be. Because if KD decides to come back, you know, then you think, okay, you got a year to rehab.
Yeah.
You got a year to kind of
exactly.
just get this
don't,
team
don't hurt
reloaded.
Yourself going after that 4 seed, fellas.
Then you're kind of reloading for the next run.
Right.
That's the mindset you got to kind of be in. Because if you're going to bring KD back, if KD wants to come back somehow, if he does end up signing with the Warriors again, then you got to think, okay, they're making another run at it.
Right.
But otherwise, that's the question. How are you going to fill that hole if Katie's gone?
And that's a great question for the audience. 888-957-9570. The pregame show is sponsored by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more dates and information. I am Mike Lurbin. She is Anna Kakarakis. We are going to come back. Got a little bit more Warriors. The link between the Lakers and the Warriors is getting stronger, which means the rivalry is heating up, which is a good thing no matter how you look at it, especially when the Lakers get the 1-2 seed, Warriors get the 8 seed, they get KD back and Clay, and they spank the Lakers in the first round. How great would that be?
That'd be great.
I've got many, many more bold predictions coming up. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
Yeah, that's her, but he's not him. I'm Michael Urban, not nice guy Stephen Langford. Anna's here, of course. We'll be with you for another half hour before handing off to Joe Cozendibs, correct?
That is correct. Joe Cozendibs.
Yep.
Lo will be back tomorrow morning.
So, nobody is taking advantage. Nobody is partaking in my freshly cut pineapple and my brown sugar and sour cream drizzle that I brought for all of you guys. I was chopping up pineapple at like 11 o'clock at night last night.
It is delicious. I will say, though, I'm one of those people that I have to eat a little bit later.
Right.
Because when I get up this morning, my stomach hurts if I eat too early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to like spread out my day. Because, you know, I wake up at 2:45 every day.
That's crazy.
So I have to kind of, you know. I have to plan it out. So I have my 6:30 break right after my first update on Joe Lo and Dibs where I go ahead. And
I'm not going to try to make you feel guilty, but you are the primary reason I brought it. Because you were the one that liked it so much when we did it at the other place.
It was it's very good. It's very good. A delicious dip. And come on, who doesn't like pineapple?
And it's incredibly easy, too. Here's how easy it is. You take a pint of sour cream, dump it in a bowl, and then pour brown sugar on it until it's covered, and then stir it, and then dip fruit in it, and it's wonderfulness.
Easy peasy. That's perfect for summer.
Yeah, it's good for
ball. I'm going to have to make it this week, actually. Good for ball, bad for ball. I like that segment, too.
Thank you. Maybe we'll bust it out today.
I like that.
Pre-game show is sponsored by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. The Warriors, they did a lot of thanking and reaching out and spreading goodwill. The biggest thing that I saw, Anna, was they took out a full-page ad in Toronto's big paper and from the Warriors to the Raptors, congratulations. You know, you should be proud of yourself. Go Canada, all that. I mean, didn't surprise me, right? It's a classy thing to do. We talked yesterday about them, you know, hitting the right note. But I think there are some skeptics out there that might think because down at the bottom there's a picture of, like, Steph, and Steph's the only person you can see. You think they're trolling in any way? Like, hey, we see you, but you know why you want it. We know why you want it.
Maybe I wouldn't call it a trolling. I'd call it more like just a reminder. Okay, you got it, but we're still around. We're not far behind.
So something I wanted to mention to you in the previous segment, you know, you talked about they've won the titles at Oracle, and now they're moving to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like you expect them to win titles at Chase Center.
I'm hoping
at some point. Yeah,
that's the goal.
So
right?
and remember when Jordan won 3 in a row and then went and played minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm looking at next year and the year after that is Clay and KD are going to go play baseball, right? And so we're going to have the Oracle Warriors who almost got 3 in a row, but still they got 3 out of 5, and the Chase Warriors. It's going to take that first year and a half. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be maybe sniffing a number 7 or 8 spot. But as soon as KD and Clay get back, think about it. They're all going to be like 30-31, which is in the middle of your prime. It's when not only do you still have all your physical gifts, but you've learned so much and you can apply that wisdom to it. It's like the perfect marriage. Because once most basketball players hit 32 or 33, they've started to lose a step, but they can make up for the step they lost. Richard Sherman, I just saw on the TV, he says that too. He says, at some point, you've gained so much mentally that it'll make up for whatever you've lost physically. So I'm gonna look at it as KD and Clay are going to play for the, the Elsinore Snowcaps or something
for a couple of years. Then that's obviously all, you know, hopefully as long as KD does end up signing again with the Warriors. And if he does, that would be phenomenal. Mind you, it is a short window. Because they are in their 30s.
Yep.
So they are going to have to make sure to get out there and really work really hard those first few years back because the window is closing. It's getting smaller and smaller every year after that.
And you and I talked about this yesterday. Remember, Steve at the start of this season talked about how they need to have joy. You know, mm-hmm. joy was missing. And I can't think of a more joyless season than what the Warriors kind of just went through. It didn't quite work out the way Steve had it planned, but that's often the way it goes in sports. But another thing he wanted to do was develop the young guys. Damian Jones was you know, getting a lot of run before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. They were kind of caught because of all the injuries. They couldn't focus on development because you do have to win some games here, and it's hard to do when your stars are out. So, right. Sorry, youngsters, we're going to have to go with the guys that we trust. But next year, and you mentioned less pressure on the Warriors, it can be a total development year, and you're not tanking, in air quotes, right? You're playing competitive basketball. You're just choosing to develop your youngsters. It's not like you're waving the white towel. I think that would go over fine with both the fan base and the rest of the league. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have Steph and Draymond still around, I think it definitely will be a development year. That's going to be a year that they really have to, because they have no other choice at that point.
Yeah, right.
And you don't want to spend, obviously, you don't have the money to spend on, you know, big league free agent, you know, big free agents at this point, because you have so many on the roster that you're really trying to sign some big names of your own. Probably, you know, figuring out how to get more shooters, because you have, you know, pretty much it's Steph and Clay who are the 3-point shooters on the team.
I'm telling you, get Seth.
You never know. Seth Curry, at least maybe just a fun year for Steph if Seth were to come on the same team with his brother.
He's an unrestricted free agent, and I think they've both been in the league long enough to where, like, I could see the first couple of years Seth not wanting to play with his brother at all. But now I think maybe, I mean, it would certainly be cool. They're already like the royal family of the NBA, right?
Seriously.
And Seth, what he did for the Blazers, I think opened some fans' eyes, certainly mine. He's gotten better.
My goodness. Think about all the correlations with all the teams. You have, you know, he's marrying, Seth is marrying Doc Rivers' daughter. And then you have Damian Lee, who married Steph's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, geez, it's an all basketball family.
They're
just so around. You're right. They really are the royal family of basketball.
Did you notice that Austin Rivers and Seth were like on the court before the games at Oracle of the finals? And at first I'm like, what the hell is Austin Rivers doing on the floor? Then I realized he's part of the family.
Yeah, they're all part of the family there. And they were kind of getting into it at one point with each other, I remember, during the series. So they, him and Steph
that
were kind of
awesome.
Getting back and forth. It's like, wait, aren't you guys family now, basically?
Do you remember that one little stretch where Seth kind of owned Steph for about a minute and a half? He drained a three on him, and he stole the ball from him behind him. And
he loved it.
He did. And then I guess late in game two, I this is why I love guys being mic'd up. I think they should do it more often. I think Draymond should be mic'd up for every single game, and they should keep, you know, the feed in. We should have a special Draymond feed if we want to get to it. Yeah, there would be a lot of bleeps. But Steph was at the line late in the game, and he had made 70 free throws in a row to that point in either the fourth quarter or overtime. And it was a big trio of free throws that he was stepping up to take. And Seth made a point of walking, kind of pausing next to him and saying, that's like 70 in a row for you, isn't it? You know, the you're throwing a no-hitter type jinx on him. And I guess Steph said right away, he goes, no, it's 73. And then he hit the three.
That's great.
Big brother's always going to get the last say.
Like, I got you. I got you. Don't worry.
You got some – before we get back in, I do want to – let everybody know all these things that are going on with the Warriors, because it's the silly season for the Warriors, right? I mean, the front office has to pay attention this week to the draft, and they have a busy, busy offseason. But as an individual player, you don't have a lot of responsibility, especially if you are under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to see – look, you know Clay is always going to be living his best life. We're going to hear about – there'll be new Clay nicknames at some point once he's able to get up and out and around –
What's his injured name going to be? It's like, you can't say injured Clay, because that's just sad. It's got to be like, you know, Crutch Clay or something. You know, there's got to be something he's going to get. You know, we'll have some fun little nickname for him as he's trying to get better.
I don't know if it can be fun if he's got a torn ACL.
I'm not saying, you just had to make the best of things. You know, I'm one of those people who's very optimistic.
Yeah,
so it's like, okay, let's make the best of it. This is a bad situation you're in. Let's try to make a little light of it. And you know who actually, so he was actually making light of it actually with Zaza Pachulia. So he and Zaza have a good friendship
together. That's what
you're
telling me during the break, right?
Yeah, so he and Zaza have a really good friendship together. They got a really good bond. You've seen pictures of them in the past going fishing together and everything. They actually started a friendly in-season dunk competition over the year, and they've gone, you know, throughout this year have actually done little social media quips back and forth with each other.
Now, this is when you say dunk contest, because when I first heard dunk contest, I thought, just like a normal dunk contest, the cooler dunk wins. But this was the number of dunks, right?
Yeah, so they'll tally with each other whenever they do a dunk. So they're kind of keeping track with each other. I have to check, actually, who's in the lead right now.
Remember when Clay had, like, two dunks in a game or three, and he was so excited? I think that's why.
That's exactly why, because of because he and Zaza keep going back and forth with each other. But Zaza had actually posted a get well soon note for Clay on Instagram saying, you know, I already talked to him, but help me wish my brother a speedy recovery. Get well soon, Clay Thompson. I want a rematch in the dunk contest. Well, Clay was actually very quick to fire back saying, thanks, my guy. He says my guy. I think that's funny. I still jump higher than you with one leg.
He's probably right. I would imagine. That's a part of Clay has never really been a dunker, right? And Curry is not a dunker hardly at all. It's weird. You've got two absolute world-class superstars in your backcourt, and the dunk isn't a big part of their game. You could not have said that about any superstars 10, 15 years ago. It was like, because that's when the dunk was the most popular play in the game. Like, I think it was Mark Jackson who said, Steph is ruining the game because now when you go to the park, you see guys jacking up 30-footers instead of dunks. If I had my choice as a coach, I'd rather have them work on the 30-footer anyway, right? Shooting instead of dunking. Okay, so we got the Clay and Zaza. They're having fun together. Bogut was in the news.
Yeah. So he actually said thank you to Dub Nation saying, hey, thanks, Warrior fans, for making my family and I feel at home again for the last 3 months. Obviously, things didn't end as well as we all hope, but that's the NBA. Also, big thanks to the city of Oakland. You won't be forgotten. I loved having Andrew Bogut back this year. He was one of my favorite players when he was on the Warriors. And when he came back, it was just exciting to
and
bring him back.
They love him. You can tell.
Oh, yeah. And you see that. And you saw that again, another instant connection with him and Klay Thompson. I swear, he just like loves hanging out with the big men, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so they had a nice little connection there. And he says he is going to go back to play in Australia because he did make the commitment to them.
He's got a two-year deal, and he's actually going to live up to it, Anna.
He is.
How about
is.
That?
I think it's great that he's going to do that. But he says he'll be available if they go to the playoffs again next year.
Think about what a sweet gig that is for him.
He's great.
He's done. He's accomplished so much as a player. He's made a ton of money. He's gotten to the finals. He's won championships. He played on the best regular season team in the history of the NBA. I mean, he's had a good, really good career. And now, I mean, he thought he was done. And now the Warriors come calling to him in Australia. And it's the perfect situation. What are they, 30 games in their regular season?
Yes, 30 games.
And that's why he's able to stay relatively healthy. That's like one of the few knocks on Andrew his entire career is that he's injury prone. Well, 30 games, you have less, you know, chance to get injured. In fact, in the Sporting Green, a newspaper, kids, it's made of paper. You can actually hold it.
I actually just started getting the Sunday paper.
Did you?
Yeah, because we were actually at an A's game and my husband really wanted the sweatshirt and I wanted to get the online subscription anyway. So he's like, might as well just get the Sunday paper.
So you get a free sweatshirt for doing it?
Yeah. Nice. You got a sweatshirt. I was like, perfect. We'll get a sweatshirt.
That's funny. So on the, page two, they rotate the columnists. And our Gabe Osler's father writes for the Chronicle.
That's right.
I'm sure you're aware of that. Headline, shortening NBA season would be smart. What do you think?
Load management. That's the big issue.
Right.
I mean, we see that right now. And how many times have we seen it? I remember, what was it, when the Warriors played the Spurs and they rested everybody?
Yeah.
And that's one
and
of
the
big issues.
The
league was upset because that's a huge matchup. That's their primetime matchup, and you got everybody rested.
Didn't Pop sit some guys in that game, too?
Yep. I think they both did. So.
And I think, Steve, that game in particular was his pointed response to a previous game where Pop rested everybody in Golden State.
Exactly. So I think the whole idea is that, you know, you see the league all mad because people are spending a lot of money to go out to NBA games. But I don't know how the owners are going to give up those games now at this point. How do you give up all those games?
I don't either. And it's going to require for the owners to give that up, which is to say for the owners to give up that money, the players would have to give up some money too, right? I mean, certainly that's what the owners are going to come back with. Like, okay, first off, I don't think they'll say okay. But if they were inclined, they would absolutely want to get something out of it. You know, we're not going to absorb the hit on this, or at least not 100% of the hit. And I don't know that the players would want to take less money. But here's what's staggering to me. If you make it all the way to the finals, which the Warriors did 5 years in a row, you could potentially play in 28 playoff games. Mm-hmm. And everybody from Shaq, Steph, Kevin, Livingston, and David West a few years ago, all five of those guys have told me, and the numbers range, but minimum, it's three times more stressful and three times more tiring and physically taxing a playoff game as opposed to a regular season game. So 28 games in the postseason, at basically times three, that's how hard you're working and being exhausted. You play 82 games in the regular season. You're playing more than 30% of another season. I mean, And people wonder why the Warriors finally, it just caught up to them. It was inevitable. I think it was science, basically, that shut them down. How do you play 30% more and more stressful games than everybody else in the league over 5 years and not at some point pay the price?
Did you not see LeBron look a little more rested? He was having a lot of fun during these finals, just hanging out poolside with his buddies. Is that maybe a reason why all of a sudden looks like he might be a favorite? You know, the Lakers were a favorite even before they got Anthony Davis. Does he get arrested LeBron after eight, nine straight years?
Right. It was 8 years.
8 years.
Did you know that they were the favorites before the AD trade? Did you know the Lakers were favored for next year? I didn't.
I saw the numbers were, I forgot what the odds were, but it popped up, I think, on Friday, last Friday. And it's like, gosh, already? Really? The Lakers? I was kind of shocked about
it. I was too.
Yeah. So maybe it was either that somebody had known something was
somebody
in the way.
Somebody must have known the trade was going to happen.
Or is that just a LeBron effect?
It could be that too. I thought this year, now I think LeBron, I don't know if safe face is the right word or not, but Anthony Davis has to come play for the Lakers. They got his contract. They traded for it, right? It remains to be seen if a premier free agent on his own volition is going to go to play with LeBron, because there's whispers out there in the league that guys don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, he is on the opposite side of 30. He's on the wrong side of 30, coming up on that right now. So
he's going to be super ball dominant no matter what.
I don't think he's a bad teammate. So much that comes along with him.
Right.
Because of all the extra media. Now, now that the focus is not as much on the Warriors this year, and it's going to be going more towards the Lakers, you're going to see a lot more of that. And that was an issue that, I mean, it sounded like AD wanted to play, obviously, with LeBron. It sounded like they wanted to be together. So that's one free agent that apparently would want to be there. Kyrie has said that maybe he'd want to get back with him, even though that kind of ended.
That's what I don't understand, because Kyrie, I mean, as many people that rode him for saying, in essence, he said, I don't want to play in LeBron's shadow anymore. But that's not really what he said. What he said that I know he said, the words he used, which convinced me, okay, I can buy that. He said, I want to be a point guard again. I just want to play my position. And I understand that, because if you play with LeBron, he's going to be running the point a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And he should. He's LeBron James. But Kyrie, that was the most acceptable reason for me. Like, if that's really why you want to go, you want to have the ball in your hands more, I mean, fine. He's got a lot of confidence in himself, obviously. I mean, this guy was trash talking Kobe at the Olympic training camp when he was 19 and Kobe's like in his prime. So no lack of confidence. But if that's why you wanted to get away from LeBron, why would you go back to that now?
Maybe just seeing life change in front of him and seeing the pressure was all on him and see how everything kind of went. It's like maybe he has more of an appreciation for things that he went through.
Yeah, it might be.
That's what it comes down to, is life experiences.
I have a terrible, terrible winner on the nickname for Clay.
I saw this one.
Did you?
Yep, go ahead.
Clay CL.
It fits, but I don't know if I want to.
That's what I was saying. I don't want an injury related nickname for.
I like the idea. Somebody else said here. What was it? Vacation Clay 510 for Vacation Clay. Something along those lines. A little more like, let's just enjoy, sit back and relax.
You got to get Clay out to Greece.
He would have a blast out there,
wouldn't he?
Oh, he would have a blast on the islands out there. Ooh, I got some good places he can go to.
He would. There was a little Parthenon was being, it sucked. We went there and we wanted to see all these ancient ruins, and then there's scaffolding around all of them. It was terrible. But that neighborhood there's some, I was shocked you're familiar with Athens pretty well, right?
Have you been there? I've only been there once, in all honesty.
Oh, really?
Only once, yeah.
So the difference, the same neighborhood from night to day is, oh my God, you go there at night, you're like, mm-hmm. where did this come from? Yeah. You know, you hear about pop-up stores nowadays. It's like they have pop-up discos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. The Greeks don't come out till nighttime.
Till midnight.
No, no. You eat late, and you probably are staying up till at least 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
So whenever we have parties or anything, Greek parties, anytime we do not have a cutoff time. Like, right. I get shocked whenever people are like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, we have a wedding ending at 11. It's like, really? Our party didn't really start till 11. Like, we ended up, our wedding ended up going to about 4 in the morning.
Nice.
So that's
where was it? Where was the reception?
At my church in Oakland. Right. So the Greek Orthodox Church in Oakland. So we had, you know, obviously we got to stay there a little later.
Is that the beautiful building that's just off?
Right on the hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, right off Highway 13. Right. Next to the big Mormon temple where the dome right next to it.
Okay.
The best view ever of the Bay Area is right up there in our Platea area.
Is that where you go to watch fireworks?
For
4th of July?
I haven't watched fireworks there. Usually I would go in San Ramon. We haven't watched fireworks in a while. Livermore has some good fireworks, though, yep. But you're familiar, I'm sure.
I'm glad. My girls got over fireworks pretty quick.
Yeah?
It's just, I don't know. I don't see
That's
the
fun.
I can see the excitement through the eyes of a child, but, you know, as a grown man, I don't get a whole lot out of it.
I think it's fun. Nice 15-minute show. Watching fireworks, patriotic.
I like the baseball game fireworks shows. I mean, those are awesome. Those are like professionally produced. And, you know, we were in Portugal for my honeymoon, and we got to stay in a castle. It was like a legit castle that had been made into kind of a bed and breakfast. It was in this city called Obidos. And it's a walled city, and it's the city that the king of Portugal at the time gave his bride for a wedding present. So at the top of the hill is the castle, and then the wall goes out from, you know, out from both sides of the castle. They lost our reservation, and the only room available was the king's suite.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, literally where the king slept back when this was the king's castle, and that had been turned into an ultra-luxury hotel room, and it was awesome.
That's amazing. Good deal for you guys.
Absolutely. And then they had, the reason I bring it up, they had homemade fireworks.
Homemade?
That yeah, kind of like me. It should, and it scared me when I saw something on fire two feet from my doorstep. You saw like flaming ashes coming out of the sky.
You're like, it's a historical castle here.
Yeah, but I don't think there was any fire chief. No. in Obidos.
By the way, from the 415, vacation. I like
vacation,
that. Vacation.
Yeah. Wow. A
few of them actually.
And a couple of them are just done with me already. What happened to Steven? Where's Nice Guy?
Nice Guy will be back tomorrow, but we do enjoy our time with Michael Irvin here.
Couch Clay? I like that.
Couch Clay?
Yeah.
Just watching from the couch.
He's going to have to spend a lot. See, this threw me for a loop because it was Couch Clay was submitted by Drake from Mountain View.
Not the Drake.
That's where I got confused. I'm like, wow.
Maybe it's another person named Drake, but not the Drake from that was celebrating in Toronto yesterday.
Think there's more than one Drake? How about this celebration in Toronto? I mean, that was awful.
Oh, you're damn about no damn Drake night.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you, mm-hmm. Kevin. What is it? DeGrant, right? You got that one? Did you hear this?
No.
Jalen Rose.
What about him?
Talking about Kevin's workout before game 4 of the
finals. His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Play it again.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Kevin DeGram, as in like Kevin.
Kevin DeGrant is what he said, but yeah.
Is he saying like Aubrey Graham basically? Because Aubrey Graham is Drake's real name.
No, he just screwed up the name. Jalen Rose just screwed it.
Gotcha.
And we wore it out over the weekend. I mean, even the text line, they would refer to him as KDG instead of just KD.
You know who I am.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
I just love the confidence. Gotcha. His name is Kevin DeGrant. No, it's actually not. It's not his name.
That's funny.
So shorten the NBA season. It's not going to happen, right?
I don't think so. I think it's too far gone. If you do, maybe 5 games at the most eventually, but you're going to have to restructure a whole bunch of contracts. There's a lot of massive contracts, and you're not going to get that money back. So either you're going to change it from now on somewhere down the line, and it's going to be an eventual thing, but I don't see how they're going to do it, and I don't see how the owners are going to give up that much money.
By the way, the U.S. women played again in the Women's World Cup, and they did not get in trouble for celebrating. You're the one that pointed out they did a golf clap, right?
Yes, that was Carly Lloyd with the golf clap.
Carly Lloyd, that's good.
We're getting ready for the knockout round.
I want to see the finger snaps. Have you ever been to like a poetry slam or anything? That's how they applaud. They just snap their fingers.
Little.
It is a, it's a freaky thing going on.
Spirit fingers.
Out time is hard, correct? All right, it is. I've had a great time, man. Thank you so much for putting up with me.
Thank you so much for coming in, Herbs.
I really have enjoyed it. Joe Spadoni, fantastic work by you. Joe, Coz, and Dibs are coming up next, and away we go with a great day of live and local sports. If you're struggling with drugs or alcohol, you can beat it. I'm 6 years sober. Celebrated that last month. I can help you. It's tough to do it alone, and I'm more than happy to help you. Hit me on Twitter at Big Herb Sports, and if I can't help you directly, I'll at least be able to put you in the right direction. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you again, Anna. 95.7 The Game.